Hello and welcome to Super Great Kids Stories, wise tales from storytellers around the world, which will make you laugh and sometimes cry. Recommended for ages 5 to 105. I'm Kim and I love stories. Hello Super Great Kids, and how are you? I hope you're happy and well. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, it's creeping closer to spring. Hooray! Birds and blossom and sunshine. I'm very happy because we have some really good news this week. There's going to be a book of Super Great Kids stories from around the world, and it'll be out next year. It's being published by Bloomsbury, the same people who produced the Harry Potter books, and books by the genius writer Catherine Rundle, who wrote The Zebra's Great Escape and The Wolf Wilders and lots more, but they're two of my favourites. Our book will be packed with your favourite stories, retold by storytellers like Toop, Kate Corkery, Wangari, Tien and Duyeb, Amy Douglas, Masako Carey, and many more. And we'll be sharing tips on how to tell the stories. Bloomsbury have found some gifted artists from around the world to illustrate the tales with bright, magical pictures. Super Great David and I are so happy we can't stop singing. Come on, David, let's sing our recycled version of The Sharing Song.
If you read a book and we read a book, we'll all have a super great time. If you read one and then pass it along, a whole lot of us, a whole lot of us, a whole lot of us will have a super great time.
So, what's going to happen when the book comes out, Kim?
Well, David, we know all these stories because people have shared them with one another over the years. I tell you, you tell someone else.
I will.
They tell someone else. And now we get to have the stories written down in a book as well, which will help everyone to learn them and to share them and to spread them around the world even more.
So, the book could be a bit like the magic porridge pot, but instead of sharing porridge, it's sharing stories.
Yeah, that's the dream. And now, let's tell you about this week's tale. It's another trickster story, and it's told by storyteller Emily Hennessy. And it comes from Poland, a large country in Eastern Europe. Can you have a think about what trickster you'd use if you were telling your own trickster story and what voice you might use for them? It might be a trickster you know, like Anansi or Coyote or Kojo the Rabbit, or you might make up your own trickster character like a creepy caterpillar or a prickly pixie. And think about what your trickster would sound like. Would they have a low, scary voice, like the witch in last week's story? Or a high-pitched, squeaky voice, like an imp? See if you can bring your trickster to life while we have a quick word with the grown-ups. Hello, Super Great Kids. Did you find a voice for your trickster? And do you have a picture in your head of what they look like? Maybe you could draw a picture of them and send it to us. Now, see what you think about the trickster in today's story. He's not someone I'd want for a friend. Are you sitting comfortably? Am I sitting comfortably? Then here is this week's trickster story with the gifted storyteller, Emily Hennessy.
Hello, my name is Emily. And I wonder, do you ever feel a bit sad? Do you ever feel a bit miserable? Do you ever feel like you've got a black cloud hanging over your head? You do? Me too, sometimes. Well, I want to tell you a story today all about misery. On the other side of the hills, there was a wood. And on the other side of the wood, there was a river. And on the other side of the river was a little lane that led, winding this way and that way, to two houses. The first house was big. And I mean really big. It had more rooms than you could possibly count. There was a swimming pool and a perfect garden full of flowers all year round. In this big house, in this mansion, lived a man who was rich and greedy and mean. And next door to this house was a small, shabby, grey stone cottage. And in this little house lived a poor couple. Their fires never stayed lit. Their food was always cold and tasteless. Their clothes were always full of holes. Money went missing all the time. Their bed was always cold. Their roof was always leaking, no matter how many times they tried to fix it. Their hens never laid any eggs. Their flowers never blossomed. Their vegetables in the garden were small or eaten by worms and mice and birds. It was always raining on that house, even when it seemed to be sunny everywhere else. Why was it like this? Well, it was like this because the couple had an unwanted, unwelcome guest who just wouldn't leave. A guest who lived with them and followed them everywhere they went. This was misery. And misery was small, and misery was bony, and misery had a nose that always dripped. He had lanky hair and sharp, overgrown nails, bags under his eyes and teeth that were black. It was a spring morning. The woman was looking out of one of the grimy windows of the house. And she could see, past the dark cloud over their house, past the rain that always fell on their house, on the other side of this, the sun was shining. The sun was warming the earth. There was blossom. Flowers lifted their heads. She could even hear the faint song of the birds. If only we didn't have misery living with us, she thought. Just think how good life could be. We could enjoy the world. And then she had an idea. She found her husband and she whispered to him, let's take a walk together today, but let's not tell him where we're going. Let's see if we can be free of him, escape him, just for a couple of hours. Think how good it would feel to not be miserable. And so the two of them snuck out of the house. As quietly as mice, they closed the door behind them. They put the key in the lock and click. They were on the outside. Misery was on the inside. And for a moment, they looked at each other and their hearts leapt and then they heard another click coming from above them. They looked up and they saw the window was opening. Misery was climbing out. He jumped down and landed on the ground beside them. And so the woman and the man walked. Away from the house they walked, and right behind them, following closely, was misery. They walked all the way down that long winding lane until they came to the river. Now the bridge to cross this river was miles along the bank. And so they took a plank of wood, laid it across the river, and then they crossed, first the woman and then the man. And when they reached the other side, they quickly took that plank of wood and pulled it back onto their side of the bank, leaving Misery stuck on the other side. They were free. For a moment they looked at each other, their hearts leapt, and then they watched as Misery ran along the riverbank until he reached a tree. He climbed up the tree, he scaled the branches of the tree over the river and dropped down beside them. And so they kept on walking. The man and the woman walked, leaving the river behind, with Misery following closely. They walked until they came to a hedge of brambles and thorns. And here they found a tiny little gap, and they squeezed through, tearing their clothes and ripping their skin. They didn't care because this was their chance to escape through the hedge and out the other side. And there was no Misery. And for a moment they looked at each other, for a moment their hearts leapt, and then Misery found a fox tunnel, through the tunnel, under the bush, and popped up beside them. And now they ran. The man and the woman ran. They ran to the big rocks and boulders, and there they divided. She went one way, he went another, hiding behind the rocks, hiding in the crevices, running as fast as they could. But no matter how fast they ran, no matter how well they hid, Misery was always there beside them. Miserably now, with those dark clouds in the sky over their heads, they trudged through the forest. They walked until they came to a clearing. And in this clearing, there was an ancient oak tree. An oak tree that was hollow on the inside, with a gap in the trunk where you could climb right in. And here, looking at the tree, looking at the gap and the hollow trunk, the man had an idea. He made sure that Misery was nearby, watching and listening. And then he announced to his wife, "I've had enough. I can't live with Misery any longer. I'm going to escape him by spending the rest of my days living inside this tree. My love, I'm going to climb in. As soon as I'm in, please take a piece of wood and cover the entrance so Misery can't get in with me. And then push wedges all the way round so that I can't get out and he can't get in." The woman agreed. She grabbed a big, strong piece of wood and some sturdy sticks. And then the man carefully climbed in through the gap and into the hollow trunk of the tree. "I'm in," he shouted. "Now trap me inside." Misery was watching. Misery was listening. Misery couldn't bear the idea of the man getting away from him. And so Misery leapt forward. He pushed past the woman and jumped into the tree, squidging in nice and cosy beside the man. But the man was ready. As soon as Misery jumped in, the man jumped out. The woman pushed the piece of wood against the entrance, and as quickly as they could, the two of them shoved in the sticks, wedging them nice and tight around the wood like a locked door. Misery, in the tree all alone, was furious. He stamped and screamed and kicked and scratched and bashed and hollered and shrieked and yelled, but it was no good. He was trapped. And then something happened. Something wonderful happened. The dark clouds in the sky parted, and the sun, warm and golden, burst through, brightening the world, kissing the man and woman's cheeks. The birds fluttered in close and began to sing. The man and woman saw there was blossom on the trees around them, and the air suddenly smelt so sweet. They looked at each other, and for the first time in a long, long time, they laughed. They fell into each other's arms and they hugged, and then they laughed some more, and then they began to dance, a funny, silly, joyous dance there in the clearing, because suddenly they felt so free. Suddenly they felt so happy. And then, hand in hand, with rosy cheeks and bright eyes, they made their way home, skipping back through the forest. They passed over the rocks. They crossed the singing river. And on the winding road back home, they found a bag of gold coins. When they got back, their house was bathed in sunshine. It looked so welcoming. With the coins, they went to the market. They bought some seeds. And it wasn't long before that garden was full of vegetables, big and delicious. And not just vegetables, but flowers too. So many flowers of every colour you could imagine. So many flowers that they took the ones they didn't need to the market and they sold them. And with this money, they bought some hens. Hens that laid eggs every day. And then they bought a pig and a cow and a horse. Their roof stopped leaking. Their fires always burnt warm and bright, and their garden was full of colour and birds and bees, and their house was full of laughter and dancing and singing and joy. But the man and woman never forgot about misery. In fact, every week, on a Saturday afternoon, they took hammer and nails and made the journey back to that clearing in the forest. They made the journey back to that ancient oak tree. And there, they checked the cover. They hammered in nails to make sure that misery could never escape. Now, do you remember that rich, mean, greedy man who lived in the mansion next door? Well, he'd been watching his neighbours for some time now. He had seen how their lives had suddenly changed, how their garden had flourished, how their house had become lovely, how they had become so happy and so rich. This can only mean one thing, thought the man. They must have found treasure. He spied on them every day. He saw how once a week, quietly, secretly, they left the house and went off for a walk. And so one day, the man followed, all the way down the winding road, over the river, over the rocks and through the woods and to that clearing in the forest. And there the man hid and watched as they hammered in nails on an old oak tree. Now that must be where they're hiding the treasure, he thought. The greedy man was so jealous. He waited until the man and woman had gone. And then he went over to the tree. He ripped out the nails and the wedges. He pulled away the wood and he peered inside and, well, he certainly didn't find any treasure in there. Misery was so pleased to be free, he jumped out and followed the rich man back to his house. And there, Misery settled in and made himself at home. And so it turns out that no matter how rich you are, no matter how huge your house, it's no protection against misery. Misery can come and live with you, whoever you are. But it's good to remember that with some love, some kindness, and quite a lot of cunning, there's always a way to get rid of him.
Thank you very much, Emily, for sharing that story. I love the picture Emily put in my head of the couple dancing a silly, joyous dance, skipping back through the forest together and singing for the joy of singing. Have you ever felt like that? Just really crazily happy after a difficult time? I felt a bit like that when we took our first baby home from hospital after a slightly tricky time when misery had been knocking on my door and trying to get in. And then I walked back into my home holding my baby and beaming like a bag of chips. Ask your grown-ups if they remember a time when they felt radiantly happy after throwing misery out of the door. Now, lots of you have been joining our club and hopping into our owlet's nest. Thank you for being patient and waiting your turn to be mentioned. So, let's say thank you and hello to some new owlets. Hello and welcome to London Ray, who is a long-time listener and a recent member of the Owlet Club. London Ray lives in Price in Utah in the US. Happy storytelling, London Ray. And hello to Petra, who's been listening to the stories for a whole year. Petra became an owlet for her 6th birthday. Welcome to the club, Petra. And a big hoot and hello to Nora, who is 6, and Tessa, who is 4, from Brooklyn in New York. They are both big fans of Baba Yaga, the witch who eats children. Good choice. Did you know that Baba Yaga is also popular in Poland, which is the country where this week's story comes from? And over to the west coast of the US now to say hello to 5-year-old Will from San Jose in California. Will and his family listen every day on the way to school. He's looking forward to listening to the bonus episodes now that he is an owlet, especially the scary ones. His favourite stories so far are Baba Yaga and The Ghost of the Bloody Finger. You do like the scary ones, don't you, Will? Staying in California now, we say hello to Campbell, who's been listening to Super Great Kids stories for about a year. Campbell's favourite stories are Mama Dragger and The Tinderbox. Good choices, Campbell. And another owlet in California is Owlet Ember, who is 6. Her favourite story is The Luck Child because she loves how the storyteller Jason Buck makes the devil's voice. It is really scary, isn't it, Ember? I wonder how you'd make your devil sound like if you were telling that story, Ember. And now let's fly north to Canada, to Vancouver Island in British Columbia, to say hello to Emmy Rosa, who is 7. Emmy is very pleased to be a new owlet. Her favourite stories are The Ghost of the Bloody Finger, Tom Tit Tot, and How the River Shannon Came to Be. And Emmy Rosa has drawn us 2 super great pictures, one of the nasty little red-eyed imp from Tom Tit Tot, and another of the boy who looks absolutely terrified as the ghost of the bloody finger floats into his bedroom. Thanks, Emmy Rosa. Just lovely pictures. And down to Fayetteville in Arkansas in the US to say hello to Owlets Silas, who is 7 and loves Baba Yaga, and May, who is 5 and loves all stories with fairies in them. And Naomi, who is 2, who loves listening with her big brother and sister. To all of you. Over to Fremantle in Western Australia now to say hello to Alyosha, who received an Owlet subscription for his 5th birthday from Marley, Lewin and Kep. Alyosha particularly likes the Anansi stories. Good choice. And over now to superfans in Bristol in the UK to say hello to Maggie, who has just turned 8, and Zoe, who is 4. They've been super great supporters ever since September 2020 when we started the podcast. They even came to see us at our live show in London. Zoe's favourite story is The Ghost of the Bloody Finger, and Maggie's is Cap of Rushes. Hope you're enjoying being 8, Maggie. And hello to 3 owlets in Rhode Island in the US. Amelia and Audrey, who are 6-year-old twins, and their brother Teddy, who is 2. Amelia has drawn 2 super great pictures of the girl from Galicia and the velvet ribbon. Her favourite story is The Girl from Galicia, but she doesn't think it's very scary. Well, you're very brave, Amelia. I did find it a bit scary, especially at the end. And back across the pond to Nottingham, here in the UK, and a big hello to Connor, who is 7, and his mum, Colleen. They enjoy listening to the stories together at bedtime. And their favourite story is Wild Jack and the Two-Headed Giant. Ah, that's one of my favourite stories too. And a special hello to Jensen from New Zealand, who is just turning 8. He's travelling around Europe in a camper van, lucky boy. And his Nana, Uncle Sean and Anne-Marie signed him up as an owlet as a gift for turning 8. What a good idea for a present when you're on the road. Jensen's favourite stories are the scary stories. Happy travelling, Jensen. Hope the stories are keeping you entertained on the long stretches. Now, lots of you have sent brilliant drawings to our Facebook page. I have 2 Pick of the Week pictures. One comes from 7-year-old Florence, who is a super great artist. I just love your drawing of Br'er Rabbit and the Big Wind, particularly the way you've drawn poor, selfish tiger tied to the tree while Br'er Rabbit and the blackbird look on, rather pleased with themselves for tricking him. That'll teach him for being a bit selfish and mean and not sharing his food. And another creative drawing came in this week from Charlie, who is 3 and who lives in Denver, Colorado. Charlie drew a really clever picture of the pink Super Great Kids Stories t-shirt with Story Owl on it. Good idea. If you'd like to see all the super great pictures sent in this week, go to facebook.com/supergreatkidsstories. More Owlet welcomes next week, and thanks for being patient. And thanks to all of you who are subscribing to our podcast. If you'd like to support our podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Patreon, you can hear our stories advert-free. And you'll get over 38 bonus stories and at least 20 super great scary stories. And you'll get a hello on the podcast. For more information, go to our website at supergreatkidsstories.com. Ooh. More trickster stories next week. This podcast was produced at Wardour Studios in fabulous Fitzrovia in London.